Hey, hi, I'm Ilya Salkind, creator and executive producer of Superman the Movie.
Hi, I'm Jack O'Halloran, the Kryptonian Non from Superman and Superman 2.
Hey, this is Jeff East, young Clark Kent from the movie Superman.
Hey, everyone, this is Aaron Smolinski from Superman the Movie, Superman 2, Superman 3, and Man of Steel.
Hey, superfans, this is Carla Ogle, co-chairperson for the Superman Celebration in Metropolis, Illinois, and you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Welcome to all of you super friends out there. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, and this is my Superman Celebration preview. That's right, the event, the Superman Celebration, it takes place every summer in Metropolis, Illinois. It is amazing. Year in, year out, they have been doing it. This year's event, it takes place June 7th through the 10th. This is the 40th anniversary for the Superman Celebration, so congratulations to all involved. It's the 80th anniversary of the character Superman, 40th for the Superman Celebration in Metropolis, Illinois, 40th for Superman the Movie, my favorite movie, my favorite comic book movie of all time, 30th anniversary for Superboy, the TV series. Man, so many super anniversaries going on. All of those anniversaries I just mentioned, they're going to be celebrated the weekend of June 7th through the 10th. I will be there not only recording more content for an upcoming episode of Comic Book Central. You folks know when I take the show on the road, I bring it to you. But this year, I am going to be moderating a Q&A at the event with the stars of the new Superman series on the Sci-Fi channel, Krypton. It is amazing. I love it. I wasn't sure where they were going to go with it. I locked into it. It's an amazing series. It's so cool. Sean Sipos, who plays Adam Strange, he's going to be there. Blake Ritson, he plays Brainiac. He's going to be there. We're going to be picking the brain of Brainiac. We're going to be picking the brain of Adam Strange. Getting Strange with Adam Strange. My Q&A with those gents, that's going to take place Saturday, June the 9th at 1:30 at the main tent. So if you're planning to attend the event, man, stop by. We're going to have some fun there. Get your Krypton questions ready, and then I'm going to bring that to you right here on Comic Book Central as well. What is coming at you right now? It is my preview of the four-day celebration. So if you're going, here's what you can expect. If you're not sure if you're going, go. Make the decision. Go. This is what's coming your way. Today, I'm going to be chatting with Carla Ogle. She is the co-chair of the event. We're going to get a rundown of everything that's going to be going on that weekend. Then, bonus interview today. The last time I was in Metropolis, Illinois, that was 10 years ago. Man, that was going back a bit. 30th anniversary. When I was in town, I stopped by the Superman Museum. I spoke with a man behind the Superman Museum, Jim Hambrick. I was planning to use that interview on a different Comic Book Central project back in the day. Didn't get a chance to air it at the time. So I've had this interview. I've been wanting to bring it to folks. So what you're going to be hearing today is the interview that has never been aired before. I didn't have the podcast at the time, so perfect opportunity to bring it to you now. It's a behind-the-scenes look at the museum, the history of the museum in Metropolis. We're going to get some background there with Jim Hambrick. So lots of super goodness to get to today. Let's not waste any time. Check this out. Then I will be right back with a look behind the scenes of the Superman Celebration with Carla Ogle. Oh, my guest today certainly has her hands full preparing for tens of thousands of visitors to descend upon her town in order to celebrate 80 years of the Man of Steel. A super welcome to the co-chairperson of the Superman Celebration, Carla Ogle. Carla, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Well, hello and greetings from Metropolis, home of Superman.
Yes, it is. So cool that you're from Metropolis. Hey, we're going to talk all about the Superman Celebration. There's a lot to talk about. But before we get to talking about this year's event, I want to mention to our listeners that just hours before we started to record this interview, it was announced that Margot Kidder, our Lois Lane of the 70s and 80s in the Superman films, that she passed away at the age of 69. Carla, I know that Margot was a guest of yours at several Superman celebrations. Correct me if I'm wrong, just last year, correct?
She was. We were very, very fortunate to have her again. And, Margot, what a woman she is. She is just, she's a firecracker. She's funky, wonderful, wonderful person. And yes, we've had her a few times in Metropolis. And, you know, especially now since we've heard of her passing, you know, I am just so thankful that we were able to get her back to Metropolis last year.
That was, and that's the first time I met her was, so she was out there twice or several, more than that.
Well, actually, we've had her three times.
Three times, okay.
But she actually did visit Metropolis one time before for kind of a political visit.
Oh, okay. So she was out there one other time. Yeah, that was the first time I got a chance to meet her. Look, I've been out there, I think it was 05, 06, and 08. So I think it might have been like 05 or 06. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, no filter. You knew exactly where you stood with her. She was kind of like Lois Lane in that, very close to her character in that, wasn't she?
She really, really was. Yeah. And I tell you, I actually just shared a photo of her on our Superman Celebration Facebook page, and she's standing up on the base of the statue, and that was in 2011, I believe.
Okay.
But I tell you, one of the neatest things, we have all kinds of great memories and wonderful things that happened to us throughout the celebration over the years and years and years, wonderful stories we like to tell. But this particular one, this is one of those things you just can't script like this. But our Metropolis Superman, Josh Boltinghouse, who is just the most gentlemanly person you'd ever want to meet.
He is Superman. He is Superman.
Oh,
I've met him a few times. He's Superman.
Well, we could talk about him later.
we will.
Let's talk about this story. But we always have a moment where we have our guest come up onto the statue. We have this wonderful bronze statue of Superman, you know, right in the middle of all the action. And we have our guests come up, and they'll stand up on the statue for kind of a photo. You know, the crowd can stand around and take photos, and they usually cheese it up, ham it up, and, you know.
Hands
it's really
on
funny
hips
because,
and everything, right?
Yes,
I've done it.
Standing underneath this 15-foot bronze statue, so you can't help but just look up with eyes of wonder, you know, and it's really an interesting thing. But as she was, Josh was already standing up on the base, and she was getting ready to kind of step up on the step, and she kind of, you know, lost her footing and kind of, you know, wobbled just a little bit. And he reached out and kind of, you know, steadied her and helped her up onto the statue. And it was just so funny. He turned to her. He said, "Don't worry, Lois. I got you." And you just couldn't imagine the uproar of the crowd whenever she looked at him and she said, "You got me. Who's got you?"
Perfect.
And everybody thought, "Oh my gosh, what did we just witness here?" But that was just one of those moments that was just priceless.
And the celebration is full of those moments. I mean, there's things that go on all the time. I mean, there's something we'll talk about this, but yeah, what a loss. But my goodness, what a legacy that she leaves behind too. Because if we think about it, she's in all four of the Superman films. I posted today, I mean, we're recording this ahead of time, so by the time it airs, it's going to be a little bit of time passed, but I posted on my social media, I think two of the most epic scenes, not just in the film, but epic as far as just film history. The rescue, the helicopter rescue, I mean, to me, that's when I think Superman, that's the first thing I think of. And then, of course, their first flight and the John Williams love theme playing behind it. I mean,
oh my gosh, yes.
I there's no way you can watch that and not be moved. It's just, it's amazing. And she was so, that whole scene with the interview and I'm sure people are going to be sharing their stories because look, we're going to talk about the guest list here and you've got some coming from the movie, the original movie, which is pretty cool. So I'm sure people are going to be sharing their stories about Margot Kidder. I'm sure you're going to be sharing your stories there. And I know this was just announced as we're recording this, but any plans to maybe have a tribute, or is that possible, or is it just maybe sort of the stories that are being told that weekend?
You know, as you mentioned, you know, she just passed, and so this is all, we're all just kind of, you know, wrapping our head around this. And we actually have a committee meeting Wednesday.
Okay.
And I have kind of let everybody know, all right, start thinking, because we need to do a tribute, we need to do something.
Okay.
You know, we always, you know, when we have a guest that just means so much to us, and especially somebody like her that was so iconic in the role and so important to the whole Superman world. So, you know, everybody knows who she is in relationship to the Superman movies. And so absolutely, you know, we just, we haven't had a chance to really, you know, work out any details. We're all kind of like just, you know, bouncing ideas out, but, absolutely, you know, the fans of the guests that come to Metropolis can definitely look for, you know, some something that we will put together to honor her.
Oh, that'll be nice. That'll be nice to see. So, and again, we're so many different anniversaries. Look, let's talk about some of these things too. We're a huge year for Superman. I can't imagine a bigger year for this. We've got 80 years for the character, 40 for Margot's film, Richard Donner's film, Christopher Reeve's film, 40 years for that, 30 for the Superboy TV series, that's going to be represented there, 25 for Lois and Clark, and not to be outdone, the 40th anniversary of the Superman celebration itself. So happy anniversary to you and your team.
Hey, and 25 years for our Superman statue.
Yes. So that would have been right when Lois and Clark premiered, right?
Pretty well, yes.
Okay.
So we,
wow.
Yeah, this has just been an incredible year whenever we, last year when we were talking about, well, you know, golly, this is going to be our 40th, and it's going to be Superman's 80th, and all of a sudden everybody started calling and saying, hey, and don't forget this, and don't forget that, and started just throwing all these, you know, it would be endless if we had to include all of the anniversaries of the first appearance of this character, or you know, different things like that. And it's like, okay, all right, we appreciate that, but we kind of need to cut it off. We're going to hit the highs and really call attention to the really main anniversaries.
Yeah.
But we acknowledge all of them.
Well, you do, and they are going to be represented there. My first thought was you'd have to be Superwoman to be able to handle all this. So how do you, every year you do this, but especially this year with so much going on, how do you do it? Just you personally, how do you accomplish this?
Well, I am surrounded by a wonderful, awesome, super group of people. We've got people that have volunteered for a very long time. We all kind of know our jobs. You know, we add new people all the time. And, you know, it's kind of like this wasn't this size from the very beginning. It grew very steadily and at a very steady pace. And so it's kind of like every year a few more things got added. And so you kind of knew the ropes of the other events. And sometimes we'll maybe, you know, retire an event, but we'll bring something else new in. We try to keep it fresh and change it up. And, of course, years when we have anniversaries, we theme things to that. So it is, it's pretty well a year-long thing, and the question that gets asked a lot is, you know, when do you start planning this? And I always say during the actual celebration the previous year, because as things are going on, you were like, oh, hey, you know, what about this? Oh, next year we could do this. And we absolutely listen to the fans and our visitors when they come in, because some of them will come up and say, hey, have you ever thought about doing this for an event? And we'll say, wow, that's awesome. We love it. Or it may be something we've done before that they didn't attend, and it may be, you know, worth bringing back and revisiting. But we love hearing the comments from the people that come into town for the celebration, because some of them have been to other events and have things that have worked well there. And we like to kind of tweak it, make it our own. But, yeah, it's a big job. There's a lot going on. But, like I say, I'm surrounded by awesome people. And, you know, and I'll tell you something else, too, that is really a cool, very cool thing. I'm not sure if all shows, conventions, festivals are this lucky. But a lot of our attendees actually have a name. They call themselves Super Friends. And some of them have been coming for 10, 15, 17 years. And some of them are so regular that, you know, we're all good friends now. And if I need help, I could always tap one of them, and they're more than willing to step in and help out in the volunteer row. So,
that,
you know,
nice,
that's the best thing. Surround yourself with awesome people.
That makes it. Well, Superman fans, of course, are the best on the planet, right?
It's
the
80
years history. There's a lot of them. And that's the coolest thing is that, you know, you're talking about a character that's got 80 years of history. There is so much out there, and there's so much for people to love, every little aspect of it. You could love the animation. You could love the live action. I mean, so many different things. So we'll talk about some of these things. Look, not unlike our favorite superhero, you too have a secret identity, right? You're not like Super Carla all year long. I mean, you've got, like, where can people typically find you? I thought this was interesting.
Well, I actually own a florist, and, you know, we've been here for 35 years. And so, yeah, and this is actually my busy time of the year. You know, Mother's Day was just, you know, this past Sunday. And so I had this is our busy time where we've gone through, you know, once we hit Valentine's Day and we have the Secretary's Week and we have proms and then Mother's Day and we've got graduations now going
on.
Yeah, you got a day job.
You put the glasses on and then all of a sudden the big reveal and then all of a sudden you're Superwoman. So, yeah, you're there mm-hmm. working all the time. How did you first become involved? How and when did you first become involved with the Superman celebration?
You know, it actually started because I was always a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce is who actually has the agreement with DC Comics for Superman. And when we decided to start doing the festival, I was a member, and I have always been about volunteering. I grew up in 4-H, and, you know, that's all about volunteering. So, you know, of course I jumped on board and, you know, helped out with that. And then did that for several years, and then the person that had been in charge had stepped down, and they asked me if I thought I could handle it, and I said, I think I could probably manage that, and the rest is history.
Okay, so you were there right from the very beginning then, the first Superman celebration.
I wouldn't say the very beginning. I was there at the very beginning, right. But not as a volunteer.
I was wondering if you were a super friend or not for that first one, but you were...
Well, the super... Super Friends didn't exist then, but I was there as someone who got to enjoy the actual celebration.
Yeah.
But I will also tell you that when the Superman celebration first started, it really was more or less a hometown festival. I mean, it was basically one day, you know, then it grew to 2 days. But it was mainly just, you know, we had a barbecue stand and, you know, we had a tug of war between the firemen and the policemen and, you know, the different plant workers and...
Do you know the attendance? Like, how many attended that first year?
You know, I really don't. I really don't recall. But it was your basic, like a Labor Day or 4th of July celebration. I mean, it was definitely a nice event. But over the years, things started growing.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that when Superman the movie came out and really put Superman out in everybody's attention again. We started getting a lot of tension with the whole Metropolis. Wow, you're Metropolis? There really is a Metropolis. when the internet happened, that was the best thing for us because then, you know, people would be Googling Superman and, you know, Metropolis and different things. We'd pop up. So from there, it just started growing. And it got to the point where we decided, you know what, I think we need another day. And so now it's Thursday through Sunday. You know, originally it was... you know, Thursday through Saturday, and we added the Sunday. And we sometimes joke around about, you know, everybody says, my gosh, you've got so much in the schedule, you really need to add another day. And we're like, oh, my gosh, we could not handle another day. But, you know, hey, there's a thought maybe somewhere down the line. But we're comfortable with the 4 days. We know we could fill 4 days, and it's a good thing.
Well, you know, like, and for people that haven't been there, it's you're Metropolis in name, but you're probably closer in spirit to Smallville. I think your population is what, like 6,500?
Yep, you're pretty close to it.
Okay, so you got the small town vibe. You kind of get the best of both Superman worlds, right? You get the name of Metropolis, you get, you know, the city, and then all of a sudden, like, you are in Smallville, really.
We really are, and we wouldn't have it any other way, honestly, because and that's one of the things that when we have visitors come here, and even our guests, that's one of the biggest compliments we get is, my gosh, you guys are always so friendly and very helpful.
Yeah.
And the guests that we bring in, you know, they've been going to all the big, you know, the Wizard Worlds, the big conventions. But when they come here, they always say, this was so nice because it was – you know, a less frenzied, you know, atmosphere, and they got a little bit more time one-on-one with the fans. You know, it's just a really wonderful compliment that they pay to us when they come here, and they always say, I don't think we've had anybody that has said, I will be happy to come back anytime you want me. You know, everybody always has that comment when we're taking them to the plane. They always comment about they had a wonderful time, because I always ask them, you know what, I know you do a lot of shows, and, you know, do you have any suggestions for us? You know, what would you like us to change? And they always say, don't change a thing.
Yeah.
Don't change a thing.
No, I agree. It's definitely, it's like a Main Street USA kind of feel. It always reminds you, like, whenever you see, and when Clark, you know, he fights the battles, and then he goes home to Smallville, and he sees Ma and Pa Kent, you know, and it's just like he gets to just kind of relaxed. That's kind of the vibe I get when I've gone there. It's just like you'd walk up and down the street and there's, you know, granted, there's going to be a lot more people that weekend.
But. Well, and you know, the one thing whenever someone asks me about, you know, well, tell me about Superman Celebration. What's it like? And I always tell them, this is my kind of stock answer for that. I said, well, I said, it's not like a convention like you know of. It has elements of a con. It is a festival, but it's also the best Halloween you ever had as a kid. You roll that all up together in one neat package, and that's the Superman Celebration.
Yeah, and I think you even mentioned, too, it was like, you know, the almost like a small town, like a fair, or, you know, just like there's like tents set up, and then, you know, it's everything's outside. Most of everything's outside. Now, granted, I've been there in 10 years, so has it changed much in 10 years? Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, it's changed as far as some of the things, but as far as the overall, we have three tents that are set up on the city street. Market Street is the
those are still there
area.
Yes,
so
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And we still have our carnival that sets up. Now we've had to move that location. Now it's on the riverfront. It's a much larger space, so they could bring all of their rides, which is a great thing. And it's a very picturesque area because you're overlooking the Ohio River. And plenty of parking down there, so you know that's a great thing. But yeah, pretty well. You know, the three tents. We have some things that are inside. You know, we were lucky this year. The Massac County Courthouse was able to help us out with some indoor spaces for us.
Okay.
So so there's always places to get in out of the heat.
And there's like costume contests. There's games. There like a lot of stuff for kids too, right? And by the way, we want to mention most everything's free, right? I mean, the guests. I'm sure there's different things. Yeah, but.
Yeah, I mean, we can't block off the streets for you to pay admission to come into, you know, Metropolis for Market Street. So, yes, to get there is free. And there are lots of all the entertainment's free. A lot of the activities are free. You know, we show movies. Do we have programming? Some of the contests do have an entry fee, but, you know, very minimal. So, really, a family, when you've got kids, what a great weekend, you know, inexpensive, you know, get a hotel, you could camp in Fort Massac. We also have other campsites around, but we've got hotels in the area in Metropolis and then, the campsites and, you know, you could bring your whole entire family and really have a wonderful weekend. Our Smallville area, we've got one tent set up for Smallville, and it is just packed with kids' activities and entertainment and all kinds of things going on. And so we've got things for teenagers. We've got things for adults. You know, we like to keep everybody busy.
Yeah.
That's when they roll into town, they'll pick up one of the schedule books, and you know, they'll flip and start bringing their highlighters, and they mark the activities and everything they want to do, because there is plenty. And in fact, a lot of the events, we'll have them twice because sometimes we have so much going on that they'll say, "Ooh, I wanted to do this, but I really wanted to go over there." So there are some events that we'll have twice, so that way they miss it the first time, they may be able to catch it the second time.
That's nice. I've noticed that. Yeah, you really pack it in and give everybody an opportunity to catch things. Let's talk about the guests here, man. By my count, I think you have four Kal-Els planning to attend this year. Is that correct?
I think you may be right.
Okay. Is that, to your knowledge, is that the largest gathering of official Kal-Els at one event?
Well, I don't know about that. But
okay.
We're very tickled with our lineup.
You might. Let's talk about these guests. Let's start with the Kal-Els themselves. You just announced that Brandon Routh is going to be there. So you've got Superman, the Man of Steel himself, is going to be there.
We do. Brandon, we had him once before, and he was very thrilled with his visit here, so we were so glad to get him back. And, you know, not only has he played the Man of Steel, but he's also in a current show on TV right now, and he's the Atom.
Yes, he is.
Which is in, Legends of Tomorrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow. So, you know, that is so awesome that, you know, he is in two different roles.
Yep. And we're so glad because I think many of us wanted him to be Superman as it moved forward. I personally love that movie, but it was so cool that he got to be another superhero after that. So many Kal-Els there. You've got Jeff East, who is young Clark Kent. He's going to be there.
Yes.
Aaron Smolinski, who is toddler Kal-El. I just had him on the show. We talked about he is looking for. He's talking about some kind of donuts. I don't know what this is. Some kind of donuts in Metropolis.
Yes. I saw a post that he had put on there. There's like this little. One of our vendors has mini donuts.
Okay.
And yeah, the last time he was here, he absolutely enjoyed those. And okay. That there's always a line in front of that vendor. So.
All right. Apparently, yeah, I'm supposed to be hanging out with toddler Kal-El eating donuts. So I guess okay. Now you can point me in the right direction.
There's a visual for you. Yeah. Yeah.
And also another guest I just recently had on the show, John Newton, is going to be there. So we got another Kal-El.
Yes. And, you know, he doesn't do a lot of shows. So no. We're always thrilled when we can bring in a guest that, is not very well circulated because some of the guests, they're at all the shows and, you know, you have so many opportunities to see them. But when we have someone that isn't, you know, oversaturated, then that is so awesome for us to be able to do that for the fans. So that way they get another chance. He actually was here. I was volunteering, but I wasn't really there full time. And so I actually met him more or less as a fan. And that always stands out in my mind because he wasn't actually inside. He was underneath the main tent. They had him at a table underneath the main tent. And so, you know, I walked up and met him there. But I'll be very excited to meet him again.
He's fun. And the thing is, he mentioned that, you know, he basically retired from acting. I mean, he's done some roles here and there. But he, like you said, he doesn't do many of these conventions. He's kind of like in a different career now. We talked about that. And so to get somebody there to talk about being Superboy, you're going to have his boss is going to be there, Ilya Salkind, his former boss.
Well, yes, absolutely. And, you know, the great thing is Ilya is so connected with a lot of these anniversary, you know, events. I mean, you know, the Superman movies and the Superboy and, you know, of course, Supergirl. And, you know, it's awesome to bring him back. We had him here. And a funny story about Ilya, he is a talker. And we actually, when he was here before for his Q&A, he had one just by himself. And my MC, something had come up and they could not get here quick enough. And so I looked at my sister, who is great with a mic and she's great with words and very eloquent. And I said, Lisa, you got to take this. You got to MC this. And she said, oh, my gosh, I don't know anything about them. And I said, just pitch it to the audience. Just Q&A. Just, you know, do that. And so, you know, she gets up there and she introduces him. And one question, only one question got asked because Ilya talked for the entire, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
But he, once he got the mic, he was a mic hog.
Yeah. Oh, no.
He just took off, and he pretty well ran the show.
Now, he was a guest on one of my earliest episodes, and I've said this often on the show. My listeners got the edited version. They have not heard the director's cut yet. There was a lot that that was on the cutting room floor. I had to winnow down. It would have been forever. It would have been like a 3-hour episode. Yeah, it was, he can talk, but man, he's got the stories. You're right.
He does.
Yeah, it's
he
amazing.
He does. And to hear that's the one thing I think, when we have the Q&As and all of our guests get to talk about all the behind the scene things, that is to me the most interesting thing, to talk about the relationships with other actors. And, you know, of course they're going to spill a little bit of, you know, juiciness, you know, on some of the other actors, all in good though.
Yeah, yeah.
But, just a lot of the, you know, the making of the, you know, how they came up with the special stunts and the, you know, all the wire flying tricks and, very interesting. I mean, a lot of the modern stuff now, you know, CGI and effects. And when you talk about Superman the movie, you know, they hook the wires up. And, you know, that to me is just so incredibly interesting.
Right, right. Now, and look, you got so many guests this year. Usually you just, I'm thinking you've got, well, we'll talk about the comic book guests too, but usually you have like maybe two or three, like think main ones or something. It's just, you pulled out all the stops this year. This is amazing too, because we can bring on the bad guys here. We've got Jack O'Halloran, another friend of Comic Book Central. He's going to be there. Non, the evil Kryptonian villain.
Yes,
and speaking of Krypton villains, we're going from Non, and we've got another Kryptonian villain, but a little more recent one, right?
Is that not incredible? Have you seen Krypton?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you have.
That's kind of what I do,
Yes, I was really curious about how they were going to pull this off, since there's a lot of kind of untold, you know, they had to come up with a lot of story. And I have not missed an episode, and I am just so thrilled with it. But when we had the opportunity to bring in Sean and Blake, I thought, oh my gosh, how awesome. And I hope all the fans have the ability to watch Krypton, because it really is a good show.
Yeah, we've got Adam Strange and Brainiac from Krypton.
Yes, we've got Blake Ritson, the voice of Rao, and then also Brainiac, and Sean Sipos.
Oh man, there's so much going on. And then also comic book guests too. There's always plenty of comic book guests. So it's not just the media world, it's not the movies and TVs, but the source material. Who do we have coming from the world of comic books?
Oh, gosh. We're bringing in Alex Saviek, who is known for Spider-Man, but we have lots of Spider-Man fans out there.
True.
And has done some Superman also. Philo Barnhart, very well known for doing The Little Mermaid. He's done a lot of Disney work, and so we actually have a program planned for him that he's going to be talking about Little Mermaid.
Yeah, and Philo, you talk about Super Friends, also worked on Super Friends back in the day.
Absolutely,
too.
So yes. Yes, that was always, I remember growing up watching that cartoon, and that was really a cool cartoon to watch.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. And we've also got, we've got Michael Urey, Peter Popleski, Art Balthazar, and we're going to be planning something with Teen Titans and Tiny Titans. Of course, he's known for Tiny Titans, but I think it's going to be hard to find some little Tiny Titans that will be well-behaved to do what we need them to do. So we're going to concentrate on Teen Titans. And, beyond that, we have John Pinto, which he has actually done our official design for this year. And so we are thrilled. And I think we're getting ready to release that to the public. You know, of course, we'll have T-shirts available. Very talented artist. Daniel Peretti. Now, he actually was here a couple years ago and interviewed everybody and wrote a book about the folklore of Metropolis, actually the folklore of Superman. But there were a lot of things about Metropolis in there. So that's very cool that he did that book, and he's going to be here this year. I told him, I said, when you finish the book, we want you to come back as a guest. And, of course, he let us know the book is finished, and we said, all right, this is your year. This is a special year. And beyond that, we have lots of other talented artists and writers, Brian Morris and Sean Delaney. We've got Mike Mowbray and lots and lots and lots of other artists that are going to be filling the whole Artist Alley and Writer's Way. So definitely that place is going to be a moving and a shaking, and you'll definitely want to spend some time there.
You've got a packed program for sure. Plus, in addition, there's the Super Museum run by Jim Hambrick. That's there. We're going to be talking about that. So I think over 70,000 pieces or something I think he has in there. You mentioned the Superman statue, so people can get their pictures taken with the Man of Steel. The Noelle Neal Lois Lane statue, man. Talk about Lois Lane. She was sort of what was her title there? I think she had an official title in Metropolis for so many years she was there, right? It was the first lady of Metropolis.
The first lady of Metropolis. Yeah. We actually gave her a key to the city.
Oh, wow.
And she was such a dear, dear lady.
Yeah.
She loved Metropolis. Actually lived here for a very brief time before her health took a turn. But she actually did live here and loved Metropolis, just loved everything about it. We just thought so much of her that we wanted to honor her, and we erected the statue, and we tried not to say life size, because it actually was a little bit bigger than her. Mm-hmm. When we had the ceremony where we unveiled it and we had her there beside of it, it was a little bit taller than her.
Mm-hmm.
But she just adored it, and she just was so honored and thrilled that we thought so much of her that we wanted to do that for her. So that's a very popular place.
She was always larger than life, though, wasn't she? So that kind of is appropriate.
She was such an incredible person. I'm just thrilled that I got to know her like I did. She just had just such a special air about her. You know, she could, you know, she was such a sweet lady, but then she'd get to telling you a story, and, you know, she would always stop short of telling you the parts that probably wasn't suitable for public, but she'd just kind of get that twinkle in her eye, and she'd kind of wink at you and shrug her shoulders, and you knew that there was way more to that story than she was telling. But, oh my gosh, what a dear, incredibly sweet lady she was. She absolutely loved her.
So she had the filter that Margot didn't necessarily have. Margot would probably finish the story.
She would. Absolutely.
There's the two
Absolutely.
Lois Lanes. There's the two classic
yes,
Lois
yes.
Lanes right there.
So, yes, oh, both my. Played Lois, but a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. No, my wife and I had a chance to meet Noelle Neal at Superman Celebration. It was so amazing because she'd always have like the red, blue, and yellow on. She always had
her
a Superman.
Uniform.
Yeah, she always
she
had the Superman
that her
shirt.
Uniform.
Yes, she
yes.
did. And she was the nicest person you could ever meet. She just wanted to take time with the fans and talk to – and I think she loved – because a lot of I see a lot of celebrities kind of shying away from, especially superhero roles or roles that they're like really well known for, or maybe typecast. And mm-hmm. she embraced it. You could tell she just embraced that and embraced all the fans in Metropolis and worldwide. So that she was amazing.
You could just tell that she truly loved her fans, and she would sit there. We would be like, "Noelle, please take a break," and she'd say, "Nope, there's still fans in line." So she would absolutely stay till. We thought she's got her fingers have got to be tired from signing, and she always insisted that, you know, to personally address it to the person. So she wasn't just doing a signature. She wanted to make sure that she personalized it for everyone, and she just had that way about her.
But I think that's the vibe that the celebration creates, because one of the years I was there, Michael Rosenbaum was there, and he really embraced Metropolis. And I remember he was there with Stefan Bender. They were signing mm-hmm. autographs, and they were running out of time. They had a flight to catch, and the line, it went, I don't know how many blocks down. I mean, it was past the fitness place and past, I'm trying to remember everything.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. And they came out and just tore through the line and signed everything for everybody, took some time with the fans. They made sure everybody got, because if they had waited in the line where they were, I'd say about 60% of the people never would have gotten in. But I think
right.
that's the vibe but, Celebration creates, is that they just want to be with the fans as much as they can.
Well, and I tell you, Michael Rosenbaum, he's a hoot. He has always been a good guest for us. We've had him a few times too, and he would come every year mm-hmm. if we would let him. But the fans love him. He loves the fans.
He crashed the
he's
dance.
Another one. Yes, he did. He sure did. But I do remember that because he was so worried. Something had come up where he needed to leave earlier.
Yeah.
But he wanted to finish his obligations. And he was so worried about getting to the airport. We kept trying to reassure him, this is not like flying out of L.A. or New York. You know, the airport is much smaller. You know, it's much easier to get to. You don't have to go through. I mean, you go through security, but it's not the lengthy, long process.
Right.
And, you know, we just couldn't reassure him enough. And so finally he said, okay, we really need to go, but how many fans are left in line? We're like, oh, gosh, you know, there's probably, you know.
There's a ton.
He said, we're not going to disappoint. And that Stefan Bender, that may have been the first show he had ever done.
Yeah, I think it was.
But he was quite young, and he was so excited to be there, mm-hmm. and he was just taking it all in. And Michael stood up, and he tapped him on the shoulder, and he said, come on, rookie, let me show you how it's done. And you know, Stefan just kind of like looked around like, what?
Yeah.
And he jumped up and followed him, and they ran through the line. And I will tell you that the people in line actually got a better show than the ones going through the line inside.
Oh, I was in the line. I got video of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But we are just so lucky because over the years we've had so many great guests, and, you know, they've all just been such memorable guests and you know, just enjoyed their time here. So we're lucky like that.
No, it's amazing. I'm going to wrap things up here with, I just got to ask, favorite Superman movie or TV show?
Right now I'm going to say Krypton, honestly. I love everything about it. You know, all of the Superman movies. And actually, I like the adventures of Superman. I am a very nostalgic person, so I really like watching all the old, you know, the dramatic black and white series. But Krypton, I just love everything about it. I love what they're doing with it, where they're going with the story, the characters, everything about it. So right now, that is my favorite.
Do you have a favorite? And I know I'm opening a can of worms here. Do you have a favorite Superman? And I think I might give you an easy way out because we haven't talked about Josh yet. So I think I might give you an easy out here. Is
well,
it Josh?
As a matter of fact, since you have brought that up, absolutely Josh Boltinghouse would be my favorite.
I'll give you the safe answer.
You know, they've all the ones that have played Superman, they've added their own little something. I mean, they could only do so much with the character because he's pretty well, so well known. So you can't have a lot of liberty with that character. There's only so many little things you could do. And they've all kind of added their own little something and all have done him quite well. So I always get tickled whenever, you know, you hear, like, throughout the Superman celebration, you'll see a group of people and they'll be, like, discussing who played it better, who wore it best, because especially with all the different outfits. The changes in his outfit has been just immense. And they'll discuss, you know, they'll get down to the details about the costume, about the shape of the S and trunks or no trunks. And of course, that was a big thing this year because
you hit the question. Yeah. I asked this when I was in Cleveland talking about Superman. I asked everybody in Cleveland, trunks or no trunks? Do you like the tights on the outside or not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what? Old school.
Yeah. No school like old school. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because without the trunks, it's like, okay, it's like it's missing an element.
Yep, and Brandon Routh had them.
Yes, he did. He sure did. And Josh has them too.
Yes, he does. He is Superman because he's got him on the right. He's got the right uniform.
He's the real deal. Yeah, you know, everybody is always amazed. My favorite story about Josh was we went over to WPSD and did a live interview on the morning news. And, you know, of course, everybody in the room before they went live, you know, they said, oh, hey, can we get a picture with Josh? Oh, yeah. And so he was posing with everybody. And, you know, of course, he's a personal trainer. So he's totally 100% muscle.
Yeah, he's Superman. Yeah.
Yes. And so he sat down on the couch. You know, they did all the poses and then they sit down on the couch. And the lady that was getting ready to do the interview, the guy was getting ready to count down to going live. And she leans into him and she said, now what, how much of that is padding and how much is actually you? And he, you know, kind of, you know, tensed up and pumped up and he said, it's all me. And her face, her expression, she just got so embarrassed. And of course he counted down. And, you know, right when he pointed to her, her face was still red, her mouth was still open, and she still had this, oh, my gosh, look. And, you know, she went into her whole spiel, you know, and it was just hilarious to, you know, because I think she expected when you see him, you know, he just wears it well. And you just almost expect for there to be some padding in there to kind of, you know, fill it out. And
100% Josh. No, 100% Josh.
Absolutely.
No, the dude works out. Yeah, he does. He does. SupermanCelebration.net. That is the website where people can go for all the information. Social media. You're out there all over social media too, right?
Oh, gosh, we are. You name it, we're out there. We've got so many people that share and get the word out for us and... so absolutely, but you know, definitely SupermanCelebration.net definitely is the place to go. We actually are getting ready to release a schedule. We are a little late on that this year and everybody's wanting to know what the schedule is, but we have had so many big events that we've added in and we've had to do a lot of juggling to get everything to fit. It is a fine, remarkable dance to get the schedule to work out the way we need it to work out. So we are finishing up the last few elements, and that will be going on in the next couple of days, so they can stay tuned for that.
Well, I'm going to be staying tuned for that because I know I'm looking forward to finding out the schedule because I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing a lot while I'm there, too. So looking forward to seeing you again. Carla, I'm telling you what, I can't wait to get back to Metropolis. It's been 10 years, so I'm very much looking forward to getting back. With all these super anniversaries we talked about, I can't imagine a better place to be for all these anniversaries going on for Superman fans. So thank you so much for taking some time today to preview the event right here on Comic Book Central.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. As I mentioned, the interview you're about to hear was recorded the last time I was in Metropolis for the 30th anniversary of the event. The Superman Museum was amazing then. Look, over the last decade, Jim Hambrick and his team, they've remodeled the museum. They've given it, you know, a whole new face out front. They've got a decade's worth of Superman merch and collectibles that they've added. Look, we've got Man of Steel. We've got Batman v Superman. We've got Justice League. So many different things. Henry Cavill. I can't wait to see it again. They've got everything there, including costumes from the original Superman TV series with George Reeves. Tons of stuff from the Christopher Reeve era. Items from the Brandon Routh phase of Superman. Again, I can't wait to see what they've added recently. Right now, you're going to hear my interview with Jim Hambrick when I stop by the home of Superman back on the 30th anniversary of the event. Here is my chat with the man behind the Superman Museum, Jim Hambrick. How large would you estimate your collection to be?
If I were to spread it out, I could fill up a football field. You know, what's on display over at the museum here is about 15% to 20%, and I've got three warehouses here and archives there, and I also still have a couple of truckloads in California, which is where I'm from. So with the 15 years on the road with the mobile museums and having the celebrities, you know, show up and sign autographs and travel with it and so on. Kirk Allen, who was the first Superman in motion pictures, so traveled with my museum for 3 years.
Yeah, talk about that, because there, I mean, you sort of had a relationship with Kirk.
Yeah, I did. It was like a father and son thing, and we became very, very good friends, and we talked to each other every day for, it was like 11 years. And he would go with me to the state, and he didn't care where it was. He was a trooper, and he did well selling, you know, autographs and so on, and then me having him there was a good attraction. And we had the big cold air balloon, 65 feet tall, and when we would go to the state and county fairs, I mean, we were the in-house attraction that would draw the people and make the money.
Were you sort of his manager at one point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I booked him in a lot of conventions and so on, and helped him with his book, and did a lot with him and for him, as he did for me. And then the one thing that I wanted to do when I got to Metropolis was make sure that the forgotten Superman was never forgotten. And in exchange, he gave me his phone booth and saw the exhibit before he had gotten Alzheimer's, which, you know. He was here. He was actually the first celebrity here. When I came here, you know, they had the local Superman celebration, but I turned it into kind of a, let's bring the outsiders in and show them how it's done. You know, and I was involved in starting a lot of conventions over the years. I was one of the first few at the San Diego Con. So, you know, had a little bit of experience with that and pulled it together, and he was the first celebrity. And after that, they saw, wow, there's something to this, because you bring a celebrity, people want to come and meet the celebrity, get the autograph and so forth, and that's what expanded it. And then the costume contests and all the things over the years. The celebration brings in 60 to 70,000 people. That's a lot. That's a lot of people for a town with just 7,000, you know, people in it. And people from all over the world. I have 400 of my friends that come in here just for the auction dinner. And we tell stories to each other and trade back and forth and so on. And there's a fellowship that goes along with that. And you have to understand the belief of Superman, of what it represents and what it stands for. So the people that are into it, you already know a certain amount about their character. There's a guy named Bob Westerfield who was instrumental in making Metropolis home of Superman. He was a Minnesota Viking professional football player, and he moved here and thought it would be a good thing to promote. So they got the House of Representatives involved and made it official. And he and I corresponded for 8 years before I came here. And then 2 weeks before I came here, he passed away. But he knew what I was going to do. So in essence, the 72 Museum that was here in 1972, The Amazing World of Superman, he willed all that to me, knowing that if I came here, that I would do something with it. And I had established a track record early on of making things happen. It didn't matter where. Every day when I'm in the museum, you know, all I need to hear to get through, if I'm having a bad day, I stand by the front entrance and wait for people to come out and say, that was amazing, or that was fantastic. I've never seen anything like that in my life. That's the charge. And it keeps me going, because I see year after year after year, kids growing up, coming to the museum, you know, 10, 15 years, and then their kids, they have kids, and then they're coming and they're wearing the Superman costumes. It doesn't stop. The legend of Superman is always flying high. It changes the story a little bit every 8 to 10 years. We don't have telephone booths anymore, so he's not going to climb into a cell phone to change, you know. So, you know, everything kind of changes with the times, and that's what keeps it from being boring. And I try to create kind of a trip down memory lane, you know, and put it in perspective so that there's an understanding there. Even though it might not be their favorite, at least they know about it, or how it was derived, how it was created, and where it's at, where it's evolved to. And that's, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, that where the interest lies, you know. And it's just what's going on at the time, you know, what's going on in the world. I mean, there's things, people remember where they were when JFK got shot. I remember where I was, not only when JFK got shot, but when Superman died in 59. I know what I was doing, I knew what I was feeling, and the whole thing, it had an effect on me in that way. And I found in growing up, and especially traveling around with the museum and so forth, that there's other people that were just like me. More of them than I would have ever imagined, who said, that was the guy, you know, did it. And there was that, you know, there's that bond between us where we understand there's a level. And most of it had to do with us growing up without a father. So, you know, you can learn a lot about people through the interests that they have.
Tell me about our official Superman that we have here in Metropolis here today. There's an interesting backstory with that.
Amazing. I mean, you know, the kids he started, you know, he came in here when he was like 10 years old and even before. And through the years, I mean, I remember him, you know, and he was just so intense on being the persona of Superman, you know, truth, justice, Boy Scout, the whole thing, you know, which people see corny these days. Well, after 9/11, they never saw it that way again, you know. all that Truth, Justice, the American Way, apple pie, and everything else. We don't want to lose that. A sense of innocence that goes along with that. And as a kid, you see that. And you got to appreciate somebody who wants to admire or look up to an icon in that respect. Not as a religion, but just as a way to be, a way of life. And to see him evolve, you know, where he was inspired in coming here and going to the museum and standing in front of the statue, now he's inspiring us. So there's the exchange. And that doesn't stop. You know, not with a town like Metropolis.
So what does the museum do for the city of Metropolis? How has that impacted tourism and really sort of help put this and keep it on the map?
The museum brings in 200 people a day, okay? The combination of the statue and the museum, I get people from all over the country, all over the world coming here, says, we drove all the way from New York just to come and see your museum. I hear it day after day after day after day. I'm just a guy from California with a dream. And I was known there for being very persistent on making things happen, and I don't give up. And all that has to do with the influence that I have from this character, okay? You don't give up. You fall down, you dust yourself off, you keep going. And we had a little communication problem because out here it was culture shock for me when I come from L.A. Out there, you know, in the fast lane, you know, if you get in the fast lane, you're going to get run over, you know. And out here, you know. Four cars is a freeway pileup, you know. So I mean, it's just a different world, and there's a different understanding of the way things are, and it's almost like we're isolated from the rest of the world because they come here with the spirit of Superman and the spirit of this character and what it represents. Everybody here in Metropolis has something to live up to. There is a certain amount of respect that comes in. There is a certain amount of responsibility that comes in. You've got that statue staring at you 24/7, hands on hips. What are you going to do? There's a much bigger picture with the generations of people that come here and live here, and with the economic times the way they are, you know, you gotta be different. If you're gonna pull something together and you're gonna be a town or a community that stands out and you want people to come and visit you and you got that reputation, you have that association with a legacy such as, you know, that's kind of hard to beat. I don't think a town with a lesser character would survive as easy. I mean, I know all these guys with these roadside Hollywood museums. They don't survive. They just don't. Or Superman Museum in another town. Hey, I tried it in Hollywood. I tried it in Los Angeles. I tried it in a lot of other cities across the country when I was, you know, there for a short stay or whatever. So, you know, knowing the ropes and understanding the importance of everything. You know, sometimes the things that I like to display, would like to display, aren't the things that they care about. So, you know, I found that you stick with that. That's the formula. You can tell what it is because they always tell you. They'll tell you. They're not going to hesitate.
How would you describe it to somebody? How would you hear Metropolis?
Home of Superman. Metropolis. Big city. It's a Greek word. It means big city. Potential. Hope.
Okay, super friends, that's all the time I have for today. Big thanks to Carla Ogle for stopping by, giving us a preview of the event. Big thanks to Jim Hambrick, man. Last time I was there, he gave me a tour of the museum. It was fun. We got to chat with him. So glad you got to hear that chat today. Look, I got to get out of here, though. I got to get ready for that Krypton Q&A in Metropolis. I'm running out of time. I got to get things ready. If you're there for the weekend celebration, be sure to say hi. Always look forward to meeting the listeners of Comic Book Central. Now, I know I told you last week I might be having a super guest flying into the lair today. The timing did not work out this week to get it in time for this episode. I have been told by this individual's people that work with him and help him with the schedules that I'm going to be chatting with the super guest. He's a dude that flies high as two DC superheroes, if that gives you a hint right there. I'm told it's going to happen Monday. If it does, I'm going to get that chat to you as a bonus episode this week. So you might be getting a bonus episode of Comic Book Central. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes. Follow it on social media for an announcement. You're going to get that episode on social media. You're going to get it on iTunes. You'll get it on the website, comicbookcentral.net. You'll get it at blogtalkradio.com/comicbookcentral. It's all going to be out there if it happens. So be sure to check it out. Here's the websites for the Superman Celebration. supermancelebration.net. The Superman Museum is supermuseum.com. You're going to want to check those sites out. Folks, I'm going to take a few weeks off from the show. But you know where I'll be. I'll be working. I'll be working hard. I'm going to be in Metropolis recording some awesome Superman content for all of you listeners. I'm going to be moderating that Krypton Q&A, bringing it to you later. Plus, I also have that Mad Magazine Part 2 episode that's coming up as well. I've told you about that a few weeks ago. I was at the event here in Columbus. I recorded some content, so that's coming your way as well. So I'm going to take a couple weeks off from the show while I'm getting all that content together. You do have that bonus episode this week with my Lost in Space conclusion. So, you know, you've got plenty to tide you over until then. So I've got some good stuff out there right now. I will be back June 23rd, unless there is that bonus episode next week. Stay tuned. It might be a guy in red and blue tights. Just saying. Might happen. Not sure. But if it doesn't, June 23rd is the next time you're going to hear from me. Until next time, stay super. Hope to see you in Metropolis. Keep reading those comics. Action Comics 1000 and the new Superman comics from Brian Michael Bendis. They're awesome. Thanks so much for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Excuse me. That's a bad outfit. Okay, Presley, I'll move these people. God, look up there. What the
hell is that?
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me? Who's got you? I can't believe it. I just cannot believe it. He got her.